But turn with me to Colossians 4. And this is, you know, they was, I didn't know last time we had the study last week that I didn't put down the number on it, but it was study 160 in the word walk. And this is study 161 tonight. And according to how far we can get, it might be the last one in the word walk. But we're going to go through Colossians 4 through 2, 6, verse 2 through 6 in Colossians 4. Then we're going to go to 1st and 2nd John for a little bit. So we're going to go back to dispensation, if you will. Because if I had been looking far enough ahead, I would have recognized and I would have went to John first and started that and then went to what we have been dealing with in Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians and Colossians here. But it's okay. We'll go ahead and do this. And then when we get started in John 1 in a little bit, we'll remember that we've moved back one dispensation. We've moved back one area in time to where they didn't know what Paul used when he was writing these epistles that we have been dealing with the last 3 or 4 weeks. So Colossians 4, 2, page 1786, if you have a companion Bible. And today's date is the 10th day of January, 2018, study 161. And as Ronnie said the other day, he didn't think he had written another 2017, and I don't think I have either. So it's kind of been a little better transformation than it usually is. So we're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to go down through verse 6, because this is where the walk, the words walk continues, I think, in verse 5 here. So, we'll start with verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue or to remain in prayer or to remain in thought. We can pray by thinking. We don't have to say it out loud. I know a lot of people feel like they're not praying if they don't say it out loud. But the fact is that if you're doing it through the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit, then God knows your thoughts. Not only does He know us, but He knows us intimately, and He knows us that way. So it says, remain in thought, continue or remain in prayer or thought, and watch. And the watch is to know what the need is. If you're going to pray to God, if you're going to pray to the Father, you need, and I need, to have some idea of what the need is. We certainly can pray and just ask Him to lead, guide, and direct. But when you're doing it with a great purpose, it seems like it's a greater thing. In the same prayer and watch, and if you think about it, when you go to the Lord in prayer, whether you're saying it out loud or you don't, this is like dialing 911 on your telephone, only it's dialing 911 to God. Because, when you dial on the telephone, you've made a judgment, you sized it up and realized that you gotta have help with whatever it is you're doing. And so, That's where the other part of that comes in, the 9-11. The 9 is to make that judgment. The 11 is to ask for that extra help. And this is what we're talking about here. That is the need. What The prayer and the watch gives us the understanding that it's to be done with thanksgiving and thankfulness, for sure. But it kind of is like making the call for help. And quite often, we only go to the Lord when we really do need help, and that's not what it should be. And in verse 3, it says, withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So, when it says withal, that's really what it means. Withal, or all the above. All of verse 2. All the prayer and the watch. He says, praying also for us, Paul says. And this is Paul and Timothy, because Timothy was with Paul here. That God would open unto us a door, or an entryway, if you will, of utterance. And this utterance there should be a word used as an instrument. You know, quite often we get in the habit of going to a church if we have been in organized religion for a while, to where they have instruments. But in the church, which is the body of Christ, the instrument is the Word of God. That is what it's based upon, the Word of God. To speak the mystery or the secret of Christ. And as I said in the last study, Christ was our gift from the Father, and that gift come with secrets. And those secrets were for us, for a choosing, if you will, or a choosing out of with this new understanding that God has given to mankind through Paul. It says, for which I am also in bonds or in chains. And you know, we talked about it early on, that when Paul came when he got done with the shipwreck and he came to Italy, and he thought he was going to be able to go and see Caesar right away, and he didn't get to do that. He was allowed to stay in a hired house, his own hired house, and he stayed there for 2 years. And he was bound with a chain to the palace guard or palatial guard. And so the guard was changed, I don't know, once or twice a day. I don't know how often. And that guard had the opportunity to go back into the palace and to tell those folks what Paul was saying and what he was preaching. So, you know, Paul may have been bound, but his word wasn't bound. And those could come and go during the hours that he was awake. They could come and go, and he could talk to them and give them this new information that he had from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so that seemed to work out better than expected, although, as Paul's situation was, he never wanted to be really tied down to where he wanted to be up and going and doing and carrying on the Word of God. So this still was getting done regardless. Then we get to verse 4. And if verse 4 said that I make it manifest, talking about this mystery of Christ, that I make it manifest as I ought to speak, that I may or be allowed to make it manifest, or to be able to tell the whole story as I ought. The to make it manifest means that, in a sense, that it appeared. So he had the words that seemed to be just flowing from him that he didn't have to really think about what he was saying, that the Holy Spirit was doing that work for him. And we need to realize and remember that, to make it manifest, to tell the whole story as I ought or have been given to speak these words. Because what he had was something new, and it was given to him to get it out. And here he is, chained to this man. Been chained there for 2 years, and I guess it would work on anybody's psyche a little bit in that situation. But then it says walk in verse 5. To walk, that means to go and share. What? The wisdom that's now coming from this man. In wisdom, as a teacher of the words of the earthly owner and the earthly ruler. So he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So they are those that are without. Toward or as far as them that are without, those that have not heard the truth. You know, when he got there and they gave him a time to meet the Jews, and he had the all-day meeting with them, you know, and it said some believed and some believed not. And I think the believe not sent the believers home because they didn't want this thing to grow any further. And they tried probably to persuade Paul not to teach this anymore, but that wasn't the case. He wasn't going to have any of that. Those who have not heard the truth, redeeming. And certainly the Apostle Paul knew how to make use of a given opportunity. In that evil day, and even in this evil day that we live, we need to redeem the use of that given opportunity, because we don't know when we'll get it again or if we'll ever get it again. And redeeming the time, we need to do the work of the Lord while it's possible to do that. Then verse 6 says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So if you and I will allow the Holy Spirit to do that for us when we come upon one of these opportunities, the Holy Spirit will certainly do that for us and with us. So it said let in verse 6, let or allow your speech be always with grace. This unmerited favor, if you will, that has been given to us. It's the gift of God that we have through His Son that we didn't deserve. And it's truly grace. It's truly God's great grace that we have that. It says seasoned with salt. Well, seasoned with salt means, gives us the idea of, retaining or keeping something for a season. It's like, taking salt and curing meat. You know, if you have all the conditions right, you can take salt and you can cure, meats and stuff, and it will last on and on. You can run it through the next summer months and all that. So we see that these words are given in terms that man can truly understand, regardless of what your education is, that you may know how you ought to answer. And how we ought to answer is to let the Holy Spirit do the speaking or talking through us. Every man, and each one is different in the needs that we may confront or that we have a chance to be with in those terms. It's just like going over to the McJunkin house tonight. That was a different time that we would ordinarily be over there. We'd be over there doing something else. But in this time, it was a situation of respect and need for that family that had lost their dear loved one. So turn with me, and we'll leave off Colossians there in 4:6. And turn over with me to John 1, little John, I guess we call it. John 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to take up the first chapter of the first epistle of John. And we're going to go as far as we can go here. And maybe this will be far enough to pretty much take care of our study on the word walk. And this first chapter here, and it even gets into the second chapter also, all of this is concerning Christ. But as I said, we need to go move back now one dispensation, because when John wrote this, it wasn't the same things that Paul was writing when he wrote these other books that we've been involved in. So we go back a dispensation. We go back to where, maybe toward the earlier time in the book of Acts. And so we'll pick up and go with this as far as possible. Now, John 1, page 1871, if you have a companion Bible, and it says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life." And John has a way with words. And this, John was the one that said that he was the one that Jesus loved. And remember that. So it says that which was, and this is concerning Christ. The whole chapter is, in chapter 2 also, is concerning Christ. It says, from the beginning. Okay. In this epistle, and even in the other epistle it was used, but we're not going to do the whole epistle, but from the beginning was used 9 times in this epistle. So being used that much makes it very significant in that sense. Or from the beginning, or from the onset of the ministry of Christ. Okay? That's what the beginning is, which we have heard, and they heard it from God's prophets, and they heard it from the writings that was read in the synagogues, every Sabbath. And so on and so forth. And that's how they heard it. And many of them were taught by their parents the words of God. Because if you were a true Jew and you were out doing the will of God as what had been given to the Jews, then the word was very needful, and the word was used quite frequent. It says, that which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes. This is personal experience. And of course, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he had been with him as a disciple. And it says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Which we have looked upon, this was, I think, that they had readily returned that love that Christ had. You know, the being with somebody all the time, whether you're touching them or whether you're just there in their presence, being in the presence of the Creator of the world was something awesome. And it says, who we have looked upon and our hands have handled. So evidently they was touching and probably hugging and handshaking. How can you profess that love is one of the greatest things in your life and not do any touching, not touch anybody? That's a hard thing to do. Now think about it. This is one thing I like about our group. Our group loves to hug one another when we see them. We love to touch each other. It's not a spiteful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It is a feeling of, I love you. That's about all I can say. And it says, it called him the word of life. And of course, the word handled there in the Strong's is, palo or paleo. And, in the Strong's is 5584. And it means to hold, to grasp, to handle, maybe to shake hands, to feel after or hold. I wrote it down, to rub against, to touch, to feel after or hold of the word of life, or the life giver. And Christ was the life giver. Think about that. And then verse 2 is a parenthetical insertion. You see the parentheses there in verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. So this parenthetical insertion there gives us more information other than what we just read in verse 1. For there should be and. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it. This manifest means had appeared, had been brought to light, or had been opened unto our sight. And we have seen it, or him. And bear witness, or testified, and showed unto you that eternal life. That eternal life was pointed, it's where they pointed him out and spake of him, which was with the Father, which was with or also which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Okay. And before times, before he ever created anything, he was with the Father. Proverbs 8, verses 21 through the end of the chapter will tell you that. If you don't know, go back to the before times and see what Christ was doing in the beginning. before anything was. And he says, and was manifest or brought to light and life that we saw and that we knew. It came unto us as was promised. You know, more and more times in the scriptures through the prophets, they read the promise of the Messiah, that he was to come. And those things are so wonderful now that we can look back and see and realize that everything that was written about him came to fruition. They all came true. Because in verse 3 it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it talks here about fellowship, about sharing as one. And we know that God is love, and that God gave this gift, and he shared with us his Son, because that Son did the things that we could not do for ourselves. So that which we have seen and heard, he said, declare, or I tell unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, or a like hope, a hope that is like mine. This is what John was saying. You can have the same fellowship that I have with the Father and his Son. Amen. With us. And truly, our fellowship, or our like hope, is with the Father, or the Father God, and with his Son, Jesus Christ, in verse 3. Then in verse 4, it says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you may be filled to the full, that you may be sated with these words that John is writing to those people. And those things write we to give you the written testimony unto you, that your joy may be filled to the full, that it may be completely filled you up. In verse 5, it says, and this then is the message that we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if anybody has ever read the Gospel of John, and go back to John 1, you don't get anywhere until you find that he was the Word and he was the light. And so we need to talk about this for a second. This then, and this, is our message to you, which we have heard of him with our ears, and declared unto you, that God is light. The Lord Jesus Christ, I have never found anywhere where it says that he casts a shadow. Now, the Apostle Peter, his shadow could heal people laying on the street waiting on him to heal them. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son is light. And it says that in him there's no darkness at all. He didn't lie. He didn't need to tell a lie. He knows what is truth, and he knows what is right. He knows what is exact, and there was no need ever for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell any falsehood. So that's one thing that troubles you and I in our life here on this earth, because we live in a darkened world. We have to come to the light. And the light is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we stay in Him, and He dwells in us, because when, you know, he told them early on in Acts, he said, it's needful that I go away. And if I go away, I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can dwell within us. That's the thing that wasn't there in the Old Testament. It was either with or upon someone. It was never indwelled. But you see this wonderful gift that God gave us in the person of His Son allowed this indwelling to take place in our life. And there's no room for Satan's spirit to be with the indwelling spirit. They will not cohabitate. It just don't happen. Now, that doesn't mean that we still don't have our old man with us. But the old man is with or upon and not within, but the new man is within, and that's what gives us direction. That's what gives us understanding. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So he goes on in these next four or five verses here to, this gives us this test of fellowship, that John is giving us a kind of a test here, whether we, see it or not, or have seen it. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, Christ, and walk in darkness, and in the sinful and the lying life that we inherited, then we lie and do not the truth. And that's pretty easy to understand. The verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see, in 7, the buts there are on the other hand, if you will. If we walk in the true light, and He is in the light, and He is the true light, then we have the fellowship with the Father and the Son, because we're in the light with one another. It says, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us or taketh away from us all sin. Not just some sin, but all sin. Verse 8. And verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, because we're still in that darkness. So this is the furtherance of the test. So if we say that we have not sinned, and that by saying that, we're saying we do not have a need for Christ in our life. We deceive ourselves. We have believed our own lie. And the truth does not indwell us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And that word too there, I marked a circle around it in my notes. Literally, in order that he might forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what that word too means there. It is a very meaningful word in verse 9 that he is faithful and just too.
Amazing what preposition can
do. Yeah, to understand that preposition there is to really get the gist of what that verse says. In verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we have certainly fooled ourselves. And that makes, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. How often, you know, does we as people really think that, well, I'll do it. Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit might be dealing with us and we say, well, we'll get around to it. Or maybe a little better time. There is no better time. And so that's what I wanted you to see in John 1. Turn over a few pages to the second epistle of John. And it's 2nd, 3rd John is not very long, but 2nd John tells you in verse 1 who it was written to and gives you a little understanding of why it was written. He calls himself here the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Okay. Verse 5 and 6 is what I want you to see here. But I read that just so as, you know, sometimes we need to read the address on the envelope to see who these people were writing to.
Now, very little doubt about who the lady and her children are.
No, but it's God knew, and Paul knew. I mean, not Paul, but John, I'm sorry. But John knew. And we're going to read a little bit about the lady and her children. Verse 5 says this, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, there it is again, from the beginning, that we love one another. Not only was it 9 times in 1 John, but then it shows up again in 2 John, maybe in 3 John. I haven't went back and reread it all, but I know it's here in that. So it says, and now I beseech thee, lady, or I ask of you. Okay. Not as though I write a new commandment. John said, I'm not making new rules here. Unto you, but I'm just asking you to remember that which we had from the beginning, and that was God's love to us. That's what he shed upon us from the beginning. He did not have to make man. He did not have to make man in his likeness. He did not have to do these things, but he did it out of love.
Amen.
Because it was his will that there would be a new order created to do things in future times that we've just been talking about it in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. and Titus and Philemon and 1st and 2nd Timothy, those books that were written last. Okay? But he says, but remember, that which we had from the beginning, God's love to us, that we need to show it to one another. So, what I said in the very beginning is our group shows love that way, that we show that love to one another. And I think, even if it was from a former dispensation, it is still good that we use it today.
Amen.
That surely we can show love for each other. That others that don't have this love, or that are far off or not near, is the way it's given sometimes, you understand, well, man, they've got something here. They've got something that I don't have, maybe. Verse 6 says this, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments or his directions. And the Holy Spirit is there to give us direction. It is our GPS. Listen. It is God's perfect Son that lives within us. GPS. You got it? In the form of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Oh, we've got our directional. We've got our directions. We don't need to get off track. And when we do get off track, it's there to tell us that we're off track. This is what you had. This is what you needed really from the beginning. Or from the start, that you should walk in the love of Christ, and that I should walk in the love of Christ through the Spirit, because he said, when I go away, it's important that I go away, that the Holy Spirit comes, that direction comes to each individual. Man, that is a gift. That is something that we really can't explain in a word. It's just not there. The third epistle of John, and if you look at it, it says the structure of the epistle as a whole. So he is not talking here, I don't think, to the woman and her children anymore. He says in verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So if you have within you the living Holy Spirit, then your soul is prospering. It's got to be. Everybody doesn't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody doesn't have that. That you mayest prosper and be in health. Okay? I want to look at verse 3 and 4, and we'll end our study in walk in the book, in the word walk. And it's been somewhat over 3 years. Once a week. Somewhere over 3 years. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. And he's talking here about Gaius. Even as thou walkest in the truth. It's not walk, but it's the same word. It's the same word in the Strong 40:43. Whether it's walked or walking or walketh in the truth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in that in the truth. I have no greater joy, John says, than to hear that my children walk in truth. And this goes from one dispensation into Paul's dispensation, because it was Paul's hope too, that everyone would get in line and walk in the steps of Christ, regardless of what the dispensation was, because this gift that have been given to us, the greatest gift that God could give to mankind, and we need to follow the directions of Him that set the example. And if you want to know what the example is, go back to Ephesians 2 and 3, and you can get the example that Jesus Christ Himself set. And then look down at chapter 4 and you will see the example of Paul and how Paul finished that work that Christ didn't get to finish. You said, well, I thought that was the finished work of Christ. It was. But it was then it was given to us as a gift, I said, with secret. And the secret was that a new dispensation had come in with that gift. And that was given to Paul to spread about to the world sometime after Acts 9. And that Paul did that. Paul gave the rest of his life to spreading this word out. And a lot of people have went to church all their life and never heard anything about this mystery truth of the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul has given it. And I can tell you part of the reason why. Because many of the people that stand in the pulpit in this day and age don't understand it. Yep. And have never seen it. That their eyes are still blinded to it because it's not given unto them to know. And I sometimes look at myself in the mirror and say, why me, Lord? Was I worthy of that? Well, I certainly hope I was. And I'm thankful that one day I came to the understanding that I knew it. I looked back in my whole entire life and I said, well, I've been on this journey and didn't know it. Because it took me 33 years in that journey to get to where I needed to be before I started walking in those steps and tracking those steps to tell of this wonderful thing that God had given to us, and the Apostle Paul was to give it to us. The last 7 books of the New Testament are the last 7 books that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote 7 in Acts and 7 after Acts. And you can't find it anywhere else. It's not there. God kept it hid until He chose to reveal it. That's like His choosings. He can choose whom He will. And He choose you and I. We can say we chose Him, but He chose us. He just got us into a position to where we could realize and understand that we needed Him, and then He came in. It was like knocking on the door that was locked, we had to unlock the door. When we unlocked the door, then he came in. It's that simple.
Amen.
It's not something that can't be understood. But glory be to God that day for me that I understood that.
Amen.
And I was coming from Wahala driving an old Falcon station wagon. Eyes wide open. Either that or he was driving that car one. But God, that was where I said, yes, God, I'm ready. And he did the rest. Thank you for being with us tonight. Sorry again for being a little late, but it's better late than never.
Amen.
And because we're not promised tomorrow. Every time I go to one of these situations, I come to the realization that we don't have tomorrow. But there's one thing about it. That if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart and understand that you're part and parcel of the body of Christ, that regardless of the way you're laid away, what God wants from that situation and from that person is not going to be in a ground, or it's not going to be in an urn. Because you're going to be asleep in Christ. You're going to be hid in Christ until he appears in glory. And when that appearing comes, and you'll be there. It doesn't matter how long it is.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference. And we can start over because he'll give us a new body. He'll give us a new life. And we won't need, even though, just like when Bobby Ann went to the grave, she didn't have no feet. But when he gives her life again, she won't need feet because she won't need to walk anymore.
Amen.
And so we went through walk, so walking is done. You know, a spirit doesn't have to walk, and that's what we'll be. Will be part of him in spirit because he is spirit. So glory be to God for that great and blessed thing that we can know and see and have the ability to hopefully explain to others what he has given to us and that we didn't deserve any of it. We just didn't deserve it. But he gave it to us anyway. God bless you and thank you.